Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Happy Advent to you, Bishop.
Good morning. Thank you. Appreciate that. And happy Advent to you and everyone listening.
The year has flown by and here we are on this first Sunday of Advent, also the first Sunday in December.
Exactly. I know. It's, you look at the change of seasons, fall, winter, spring, and summer. We're here, ready for Advent.
Bishop, if you would please begin with today's gospel reading.
Yes, this is a new change, as we know, at the beginning of the liturgical season begins the first Sunday of Advent, which is today. And so the gospel changes to Mark. So this is from Mark chapter 13. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work, and orders the gatekeeper to be on the watch. Watch, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, watch." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the word watch several times in this gospel, Bishop. So is being on watch something out of fear, or is it more in joyous anticipation? What do you think?
All the above. I think, it's definitely all of the above. One thing just to say I like about Mark's Gospels, it's very clear, very simple. It's a very straightforward, in fact, it was the first of the three synoptic, what we call synoptic, which means they kind of line up with each other. But it's the first of the three, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Mark is the most simple. It's pretty clear and straightforward. So there's not a lot of explanation around it or setting. It's just the direct message. And so here today is quite a direct message to be watchful, to be alert. I think it's what you're saying, that the master leaves in the analogy here, the master leaves his home and goes traveling, and he puts others in charge of his property. And there's a gatekeeper on the outside, the perimeter of the property. So he's telling all of them to watch because you don't know when the Lord of the house, the master, will return. So as we beginning Advent, it is the period of being watchful. And I would say to us who are Christians, who want to live our faith, and that's the first qualification of being a disciple of Jesus, is that we live what he has taught us and we become what we are. I think toward Christmas, we will hear those words of St. Leo the Great, "Christian, remember your dignity." In the midst of so much confusion lately, I think many of us maybe have lost a sense of who we are as Christians. We may have lost a deep sense of prayer. We may have lost our patience. We may have become judgmental. We may have become angry. All of those things that are not part of our Christian dignity. And so I think it's a time in Advent, preparing for the Lord's birth, that we stop and watch. And what are we watching for? What we're watching for is the return of the Master. And that is not just a futuristic kind of return. It's the return in the here and now. I was really thinking this morning of this Advent preparation, and in my morning session with my bishop friends this week, we were talking about this, the challenges that we have But, you know, we're all looking for security. I was thinking of, I was telling them this week that I was thinking of Linus and the security blanket, a security blanket to hold on to. But I think what the message I would like to give all of us is that the security is not in the past, and the security is not in the future, thinking that we can change everything. The security is in the here and now. It is building positively now. God is now. God is not the past. God is not the future. God is past, present, and future. But that's what eternity is, when all of that comes together. But we live in the here and now. And so our watchfulness as Christian people is in the signs of the times now. We can't live the past. We can't project ourselves into the future as though we can build some kind of a utopia that'll pass away anyway. We have to live the here and now. And so I think this is a call, this Advent, for us to be alert, to wake up to who we are. Do we want to be a Christian or do we not? Do we want to be half and half? But the gospel tells us you can't live both lives. There's a choice to make here now. Those that we tend to exclude from our numbers, those that we tend to exclude out of prejudice, those that we exclude because of racial differences, those that we exclude because of religious differences, those that we exclude, watch, be careful, be alert. Those that that we want to judge, that we want to put down, that we want to get rid of, whatever it is that we're going through, to create a utopia for ourselves is wrong. What we are called as Christians above all to do, but all of humanity, is to come together in a friendship. And this is what the whole letter of Pope Francis is on Fratelli Tutti, is to be friends with one another in the here and now. That friendship can bring us together and create a better world. But it's only through friendship that we can create a better world. It's only by trying to work together, to dialogue, the beautiful word dialogue, to come together and get to know one another. I've been amazed through my life how many times, just in the smallest things, even as a pastor, you see someone and you might judge them because of what you see. In the next minute, you meet them, you get to know them, and you think, not a bad person. But we make these judgments, as small or big as they are. But we make judgments because we don't know each other. We remember what happened with this person in the past, and so we exclude them. It's those kind of things that I think this Advent is saying to us, and the gospel today is very clear about. Be watchful and be alert that you do not miss the return of the Master. God intervenes in our life. God comes to us in the most simple ways, through the voice of a child, even through somebody that I may on a normal basis ignore. If our hearts are open to God, we can do as Jesus has taught us, to see Him present in every situation. That's what the here and now is. That's what it means to live in the present moment. That's what it means to live now. Not projected past in the back past, not projected into the future, but to be alert to the things, the circumstances, the people, the events that are in the here and now. Not to close ourselves off in our own utopias. That is a hard message today, but that that is why Jesus came. That's why He died on the cross. Because it is hard to open ourselves up. We don't have to accept what is wrong, objectively immoral. It does not mean to accept those things, But it means to try, and this is the point of the Pope's encyclical letter, try to look to the person and to get to know the person, dialogue with the person. In other words, be Jesus for them. Not to be threatened by them, but to be Jesus for them. That is the future if we are going to evangelize, as we are called to evangelize, if we are going to be Eucharist, in other words, ready to give my life for others. I have to get to know the other. Even though I don't agree, even though I don't believe the way they believe, even though I don't think the way they think, I still have the obligation to get to know people, to be friends with them. That's what Jesus taught us when he said, I say to you not just to love your friends, but to also love your enemies. For that reason, we need to be watchful and alert.
Thank you, Bishop, for your insight and reflection. We will continue our discussion right after the break.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
You're invited to get into the spirit of Christmas with the Cathedral Choirs and Orchestra and the beautiful acoustics of Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Cathedral Concert Series provides high-quality concerts, musical, and educational experiences for the people of South Texas. Thanks to the Diocese of Corpus Christi, various sponsors, and friends of the concert series, the performances are offered free of charge as a gift to our community. Wednesday, December 6th, 7:30 p.m., the series will present A Cathedral Christmas. For complete information, including registering for free seating passes, which are required, visit cathedralconcertseries.com or call the Cathedral Music Office, 361-883-4213.
The Diocese Office of Ministry and Life Enrichment invites all persons with disabilities to the Heart of Christmas drive-thru Saturday, December 16th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at St. John Paul II High School, 3036 Saratoga Boulevard. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season, and this event is sponsored by Catholic Charities with special thanks to the Knights of Columbus, Order of Alhambra No. 78, and Sultanas and others. If you're interested in being a vendor for this drive-through, get complete information by calling Celia or Isabel at the Catholic Charities office, 361-884-0651.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. In our first segment, we discussed the gospel for today, the first Sunday of Advent, and we talked about the importance of being watchful, of dialogue, and building friendships, and building those relationships even with people we may not agree with. And to be sure, it can be quite a challenge. And this is set against the backdrop of increasing polarization in our world today. So, how do we approach this? What do we do? How do we move ahead and be good followers of Christ?
The Christian life is not about a set of beliefs, a set of morals, which it is. It has that as a component to it. But the heartbeat of the Christian life is Jesus Christ. So in my talk with the bishops this week, which we all appreciated to be able to talk from the heart and not just from the head, but there's a difference between being, for us, church men and disciples. And I think for us too, all the baptized, to be church people or to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And I think this is hard to say. It's not hard to say. It's a joy to say. Who are we? I think this is the question. Who am I in the midst of this? What am I for? Because over the last months, years, I know what I'm, what you or somebody else is against, but what are you for? We have to redefine ourselves, I believe, in this very critical time. First of all, who am I? What am I for? Where am I? So I think it's a lot to do with ourselves. The first thing I would say is that we don't blame. A very irresponsible thing to, for any of us to do in any situation is to blame someone else. It's your fault. It's their fault. It's this one's fault. Everyone else's fault. Let's look at ourselves. That's, I believe, where we truly start. Where have I failed? Because that's the only thing I have control over. Even as a bishop, you know, with a shepherd of so many beautiful people in a beautiful church, there's so much I can do. But I think I have to see, what can I do? What's real? And so it's taking the little steps, making phone calls. This past week, I called, I have on my calendar, it pops up every year, someone's birthday. I'm the godfather of a 13-year-old. So just to call him. And very involved with his, I didn't realize at 13 you could study algebra, but algebra and his swimming lessons, you know. So with his mom and dad, and we just talked, and how are things going? And you know, with all that I have to do and listen to, and I gladly do it, but it makes sense. When you connect with someone, or the fact of listening to some problems that need to be solved, looked at, you know, I can get very upset about things, and sometimes I do, and I have to deal with that myself by my own personality. But I have to step back and say, is that who you are? Is that who you want to be? Do I want to become an angry, bitter person or an angry, bitter old man? I don't. I don't think any of us do. So it is the present moment, the present situation, the present reality. But, you know, when I look at the history, we're also people that can remember. In fact, the Eucharist is remembrance of the most beautiful event in the world, that God died for you and me. God died for this world on the cross. That is a remembrance that we hold on to. And it's here and now in the Eucharist, every Sunday, every day. It's a remembrance of that love. We can also in the church remember the history of humanity, the history of Jesus Christ, who was born into a very difficult political, economic situation and world. And what did he do? He taught people to love one another. He went beyond the norms of his world and his religious upbringing. He sat down with sinners. He forgave the prostitute. He sat down with the Samaritan woman. He did so many things that were out of the norm. But what were they for? To build up relationships with people, to give them a moment of his time to say, God loves you, and I'm here to tell you that. Somehow today, we don't like to hear that profound, profound, basic answer in our life. God loves you. God loves the enemy. God loves that person. God loves that person. God loves everyone. Are they in the truth as we would know it? No. But God still loves them. And we are those missionary disciples to be that. Now, I can't go all over the world, and it's not what I can do. I'm here. So I can deal with what's in front of me, what's present, what is within my, quote, power, and to do that. I do want to remind myself and all of us that the most powerless moment in any one person's life was Jesus Christ on the cross. He was powerless. And yet, what was his power? His power was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was not giving up. It was not resignation. But it was saying, Father, I love you so much that even though I feel abandoned by you, I give myself to you. And that's something that we can repeat all day long. Instead of being angry, we turn to him. Instead of becoming bitter, instead of blaming, Jesus didn't blame anyone on the cross. He took it as his own and redeemed it.
This underscores the importance of prayer, to be, as you said earlier, Bishop, in dialogue with God.
Yeah, but I think, exactly. But I think the kind of prayer is just to be, to feel the powerlessness, because Jesus felt powerless. But St. Paul said, it is when I am weak that I am strong. In other words, I can feel the strength of God working when I get out of the way and experience the powerlessness that I have. It's not a resignation or giving up, but it's allowing the grace of God to work. I am absolutely sure that God's working, absolutely sure. But if we get clouded and we're not watchful and alert as the gatekeeper, as the people here in the gospel, I won't see when God is working.
So in our powerlessness, we get out of the way to see God working through us.
And that's part one. And the second part is serve. Go, call somebody. Go to the shelter. Go smile at people and, whatever it is, call loved ones that you haven't connected with in a long time or people from your past or people that maybe there's a little edge with. But what we can reconcile and work with now is in front of us. We need the power of God in us to go do that. So I think those two things, absolutely. And stay close to the Eucharist, because that is the great memorial of redemption. And if we lose that sense of God's power in the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, in that simple moment, then we will not know the source of our own strength to bring something new and of peace and reconciliation to others. It's our source.
You mentioned reaching out to family, friends, a phone call, making time to have a real conversation. The dialogue, as you mentioned earlier, Bishop, that word again. But to turn off the TV, to turn off the devices, and really listen to the person you're talking to really connect with the people in our lives and find beauty and meaning in that interaction.
Listen to what's real and what you need to know. And we need to be our own people. We've lost a sense of being human beings, of having a mind to think for ourselves. We rely on the mass media, the mass crowds, the mass organizations. Let's be people. Remember, Christian, your dignity, which means your ability to interpret the signs of the times with the light of God's love, the light of God's grace, the light of His Word. I don't mean this disrespectful, but I say it to myself, we need to grow up and be who we're called to be.
God speaks to us when we are still in those quiet moments. We just need to find the time for quiet and stillness.
And He can't speak to our hearts when our ears and our head are filled with nonsense. He wants to speak to us, and let's let Him. I think that's what Advent is about. As we're leading up to Christmas, let's let Him speak to us. And that happens when we are alert, watchful, and quiet. I don't mean it in any way judgmental on anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking to myself as well, because I get wrapped up in things too. So let's all do it together, just to be watchful, alert, be quiet, and be charitable to one another.
Thank you, Bishop. If you would please now close our program.
Let us pray. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forward to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at His coming, so that gathered at His right hand, they may be worthy to possess the kingdom of heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you and all of us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
Whether you've seen it before or have never experienced the live drive-through nativity production at St. John Paul II High School, You'll want to go Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, or all 3 days, December 3rd, 4th, and 5th. From 6 till 8 each evening, your entire family can witness the massive event on the St. John Paul II High School campus. Enter through the Bishop Garriga Middle Preparatory School campus at 3114 Saratoga Boulevard, pick up your hot chocolate and cookies, then continue next door to witness the timeless story of Mary, Joseph, and the birth of Jesus in various scenes, as depicted by some 200 students. Entry gates will close promptly at 7:45 each evening. After all, these are school nights. Plan to get there early. Donations will be accepted as you exit the school grounds. The greatest story ever told comes to life in a big way for the 15th consecutive year at St. John Paul II High School, December 3rd through the 5th. For complete information, call the school office, 361-855-5744.
Serving well over 150 homeless adults per day, the Mother Teresa Shelter, a day shelter for the homeless and the transitional housing for men, offers rehabilitation as a primary goal. The shelters offer a drug and alcohol-free environment and comprehensive community-based outreach services to help these individuals stabilize their lives. The shelters provide breakfast and lunch, rest, needed clothing, toiletries, a library, lockers, shower and laundry facilities, phone and internet service, to assist with family communications, first aid, and other assistance to help the homeless return to living productive lives. In the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, affectionately called Mother Teresa, do what you can do. To hear more, call the shelter, 361-883-7372.